Carl Herman, Mission Viejo, California. Brian Davidson, Houston, Texas. Need to know news. The 20th of July, a Saturday, 2024. Let's take a look at those topics and get to opening statements. Who is in control? I think that is the greatest and most important question. Question that we all answer, but few ask intelligently. The Trump assassination attempt, shorts and foreknowledge of that attempt, apparent attempt, public optics. If Biden exits, then Harris or Newsom is scripted in. We'll find out. And remember, they want you shot, culled, and neutered. Brian, brother, opening statement.
Well, it did turn out to be a rather busy week for me. Not so much time in front of the computer, but a lot of time on the streets. I handled a few different cases that put me out there, which when you're working on the streets, long periods of surveillance, you can take a look at a lot of Twitter and hear a lot of opinions and see a lot of bullshit and find yourself in a position where you're on information overload. Obviously, the big news story was this support, supposed Trump assassination attempt, which we're going to take a look at today. And I'm going to give you guys some of my opinions on this as we get into it. But in the meantime, I think it's important to take a look at the big picture here. Do we trust him? Do we trust Donald Trump? And I think fundamentally, when you start to break it down, you have to start asking the questions. Which regime is worthy or has brought him in? Who's supporting him? What's happening under the hood? And I think these are issues that need to be dealt with very carefully. I, for one, don't. I believe that there's a lot of possibilities, but then again, I can freely admit that in an information war machine like we're currently involved in, it's very difficult to, you make your friends close and your enemies even closer. And it's a tall order for me to put all the pieces together, and I'm sure every one of our audience members is struggling with exactly the same things. I'm not going to say that I'm hopeless about this. I'm hopeful that things will change, and any change is better than the path that we've been on. But I'm deeply concerned that the Republican Party is moving harder to the left than ever before. They're becoming the new centrist party, while the Democrats apparently are being phased out as or exposed, at least, as nothing more than money hungry puppets of a corporate state, and willing to do anything to hold on to power, which is pushing them farther and farther left. Of course, academia is continuing to cloud the minds of our youth with leftist thought. Democrats, these are not the Democrats of the 70s, that were anti-war Democrats. These are pro-war Democrats that are more about protecting their worldview and therefore creating a defensive fence around their mind than dealing with the critical thinking that has to take place to grow up and begin to see the world in a properly balanced light and atmosphere. And that's kind of all I have to say about the big picture at this point in time, but I'm deeply concerned about what we call the Republicans. I don't think that party is worthy of our attention.
Well said, brother. And I think that you're voicing what many people are seeing. And I agree with you, there's nothing to trust in a psyop. And yet I'm entirely hopeful because the optics are so exposing our opponents. And the longer I live, the more that I see is that my messages aren't meant to change anything. I mean, I could try another 47 years, but I see what you see is that the general public, they only see so much at a time, and we do need help. We do need this thing that I'm calling a breakthrough, something that we can't access on our own. And yet, I think that is what we are witnessing in the Great Awakening. At least I can feel good about doing my job, which is only to provide choice. Let's go ahead and take a look at those topics, and I look forward to sharing my opinions as well with what's going on in distinction to what we can demonstrate, at least to what we're shown and what would be replicable and objective data. Who's in control? All right. So, Brian, you sent me this great article from Derek Bros. What is the great inversion? And yes, people do need to get a grip that everything has been inverted and that the actors that were put out on top are nothing more than script reading puppets. And you need to ask the question is, who is pulling the strings? Who's been in charge of this show? And if you go back deep enough, you're going to find out that it does get into the very least I can say is a biblical perspective, some kind of a role that involves actors, evil beyond comprehension, power beyond the human realm, and the creator, himself, herself, whatever you would designate for a creator who is above and beyond in creating genders. And the take that I take on it is in this series that the American Revolution 2.0 slash World War III contains, and as a professional historian, going back, and as Brian and I have talked about more often than with Joe and Chris, but I do talk with them about this sometimes, is I think that you do have to grasp the historical picture and the totality of the evil and the control of all the systems, and that it does match with what that Bros's article, The Great Inversion, and going up to the present, where Brian is saying is that if you just look at what we're being shown, you could be hopeless about that because it seems to, paradoxically, be getting worse at the same time and at the same time that it is getting better. Slight pause, had to take care of a yard sprinkler problem here, resolved. All right, so back to what we were talking about. The great inversion, which Brian brought up as a topic, is that people do need to get a grasp on it, and that I suggest as a historian that the question of how far this goes back and the totality and the scope and the range literally goes far above our heads. And in addition, with what we're talking about with who's in control, I take a look at the results. The older that I get, the more that I interpret whatever it is our source, our creator is that all you got to do is open your eyes and look around, and then you can see what is being created, what is on the playing field. And I have to make the argument that our opponents, the evil, whatever, is orchestrating that psychopathic, just evil service to self has been exposed like never before. And that I see that human beings, the ordinary people who have been too cowed, too poisoned, tortured, and mind controlled to be able to even defend themselves, I think that they're in position with one more little push. The optics of the Trump assassination event, we'll talk about that, and the optics of Biden. I think that we can pull this off, but we need help from friends in high places. We're dependent upon the creator, and also the older that I get, the more that I just pray and act in good faith effort. Your comments, brother.
Well, regardless of who's behind the attempted assassination of Donald Trump, it's going to be used to further bolster the state system. It's a corrupt political system, and it's going to continue to stoke more division in the American populace, which is kind of what I think is the goal. The chaos is just beginning. There's fanatical people on the left and the right all trying to get the ring of power taking place right now. And as I told my dad a week ago, I don't think this is about some sort of battle between billionaire class, Darth Vader, Luke Skywalker types. And of course, the problem with trying to put everything in black and white terms is that they're just simply inadequate to describe the true complexity of the situation. We always like to boil it down to, you know, like I said, black or white, simple words, simple labels that could be put on things. But I don't think that that's adequate, especially in this situation, to describe everything that's really taking place. We've got to remain calm. We've got to stay balanced. We've got to focus on what we can do for ourselves and our families. And we have to figure out a way to exit from the slavery system, an exit from the digital system that has us currently enslaved with this sort of focus on the news as if the news is the most important thing in the world. I think it's important to take this time to find the appropriate balance and try to find pathways toward security and safety that are just things that we can do for ourselves and our families.
And the big picture with wisdom with this, I mean, once you get an embrace of the evil and the, as I keep saying, that our opponents annually kill millions, harm billions, loot trillions, the adrenochrome, the torture of children, that the creator allows this. So this question of balance that you're pointing to, it may be that we have to interpret the beings that we are as existing in some kind of a badass system that would allow adrenochrome. Creator allows it. So this idea of balance, and as a credentialed mathematician, I'm beginning to appreciate the possibility of, if you do have a baseline here, and that the possibility of, let's go up into virtue with the experience and expression of virtue, it may only be possible to the extent that you dive down away from it. I don't know what I'm talking about, but I think that there is a mirror duality that moves forward somehow, and with whatever the creator has put into place, is very tolerant of a tremendous amount of evil. And yet, at age 64, I find that my own life experience, that I've been relatively well protected, and the evil around that I engage with, it seems that it has just limited personal blows against me. So it is wild and crazy beyond imagination. And people do need to, I would suggest, is to put aside the attachment to what we may think is going on. Because once you get an appreciation that is so far over your head, then those verses in the Bible about acting as a child relative to this, or at least acting as somebody who has very limited understanding of the art of war that we're witnessing. Anything else on that topic, brother?
No, let's take a look at the other ones, and then I'll give you some points about the Trump, quote unquote, assassination attempt.
Good. And we're there, and that's what I want to hear too. All right. So, why hasn't the liberal media reported that President Trump's assailant, quote unquote, was a man that thought he was a woman? Anybody notice that the most recent mass shootings were committed by transvestites? So, he is a tranny. And I do want to point out these little bars here kind of look like vampire fangs. And the idea of these trannies being involved. I mean, this little doily thing around the neck. So he's at least identifying as female. Ooh, did I lose that picture? I lost that picture. It was the same thing. And it said something about it's the same thing. We have this video of a shadowy figure on the tower. And the idea that they have the Mike Adams and others doing forensic analysis of the sound and the possibility that the soundtrack that we were provided with could align with another shooting place that would be beyond and back and in aligned with that Crooks figure. Now, this video is showing something's up there on the top. And of course, we have in 2 days, if she does it, the director of the Secret Service, Cheadle, is going to testify to Congress, but we'll see how that plays out. That'll probably be another demonstration that would frustrate patriots. But more is going on than meets the eye. And in terms of the analysis that I've come to since Brian and I talked about it, and Joe and Chris, is that the elements in place I would have to reject for any reality that is verifiable. And, the reasoning that I got there is that we talked about that Fusca guy and his two other three stooges are nonplussed. They stand up, they block the view. And Fusca And Fusca's partner have the facial characteristics consistent with JFK and his wife. Now that, for me, is enough to withdraw any certainty that I have. You have Trump saying about his shoes, and Ole Domegaard has pointed out brilliantly that the shoes are a sign of a false flag. You have the DEI destruction, which would be entirely consistent with what the Trump slash White Hat team would try to do. That's interesting. You got the trans shooter. You have no blood. So last night I listened to the 40 minutes about of Trump's speech, and he went on and on about how much blood there was. Fucking liar. Fucking liar. Treating us as stupid. I mean, when you ask that question of, do you think you can trust Trump? I don't trust liars. So, no blood. And that would appear to be physically impossible. Now, I've never wounded my ear. I don't know, but I've listened to guys who have, and with the medical team saying that it should profusely bleed. But the photographic evidence show no blood on Trump's hand, his clothing at all. And then he goes and speaks in front of the whole world and lies about it, saying so much blood, so much. You got Cheadle, the director of the SS. It's not safe for her to walk the streets. I'll just say that for publicly saying on an interview, oh yeah, we would have covered that roof, but it had a slope. And oh my, she's done. I mean, that's just it. Not safe to walk the street. And the optics that we're left with. So, Brian, when you have, which you script something, you're gonna write exactly what you want to say. And you have the photo op of Trump with the flag and the blood. And then you have the three times fight, fight, fight. Now, when you repeat an order three times, that has significance. So I think that is the message that we're left with, is that it's time to fight. And I would agree that if the White Hats are in charge, that would be what we need to be told. And we have the shorts that we're going to talk about. We have the shooting taking place at 6:11 and Ephesians 6:11. That is going to be put on the full armor of God, which, I mean, you can argue that it's just a coincidence that that is the most quoted biblical phrase in the Q quotes, but I'm not buying it. Let's see. Moon purple. Yeah. So that's what I'm looking at to withdraw any consent from reality, and but not to trust anything that we're being shown by the Trump team because of the lies. All right, brother, hit us.
Well, I'm not buying it either. It has all the hallmarks of a traditional false flag. We have the boogeyman AR-15.
Yes, that too.
Wrong gun if you're going to pick, if you're going to be shooting from a prone position on top of a slightly sloped roof down at a president. What is the boogeyman AR-15? What does the media present that weapon as? Mass killing. You're going to shoot up a whole event. You're going to shoot up a whole school. Not exactly a sniper type assassination weapon. Was it sighted? Was it not sighted? Scoped. 150 yards. Yeah, I would think you'd want to have a scope, if, especially if you're going for a headshot. That puts your faith elevated even more above the weapon. Not a good one. We have the bomb. I see bombs and all sorts of false flags carefully sewn into the script for the purposes of driving more security apparatus spending. We have the boogeyman himself. Now we're presented with an early witness, the guy with the red hair, that says that he absolutely heard the guy shooting. That he absolutely saw him crawling around on top of it. We have the assassin body with the fake ass picture with the dried blood. that leads me to believe that they set it up as some sort of false flag. Now, the real question comes down to, and this is the one I think everybody's, if you boil it all down, everything else is just sort of frosting on the cake, but this is the cake. Were real projectiles used? Deadly projectiles. Do we have real death? The evidence indicates at this point in time that real projectiles were used. Just because we have them, we have gunshot sounds. We've got a lot of witness that are, we've got a lot of video that is, came in from the stadium that convinces me that real projectiles were used. So that if I must conclude that real projectiles were used, then I must conclude that it was a real assassination attempt, which wouldn't surprise me given the turmoil that we've been presented with en masse related to the friction between the Democrats and the Republicans. Were real people killed in the audience? I can't personally verify that. Some of the earliest images that were given are of people being pulled out of the crowd after having sustained gunshot wounds. And then we have the video that a couple of videos this week that showed trajectories, things of that matter, bullet striking two people and then a fence. It looked authentic, but I can tell you that in false flags, they look authentic all the time. When I was analyzing Las Vegas, there was one image that always bothered me because I couldn't prove that there was real bullets in any way. And then, as I went deeper and deeper and deeper, sure enough, I come across an image where it appears that a sniper took a shot at a cup of beer on the ground. And I stumbled. This is very obscure stuff, very obscure stuff. And I couldn't discount the fact that a real projectile was used in that source. Now, it would have come from a whole different angle. It wouldn't have come from the hotel, things like that. Now, as for the sound, I don't think that's difficult to deal with. If you had the real snipers inside the building or even on the water tower, the sound sounds authentic to me. The crowd's reaction seems authentic. And then you even have to ask yourself the question, was Donald Trump's reaction authentic? In real time, it sure felt like it was. But Hollywood is Hollywood, and these are false flags, psyops. And I've seen this before where a blood capsule with a remote control device could be set off, causing the super fast reaction time and the script. I can't tell the difference between Donald James Trump at a MAGA rally saying fight, fight, fight after he's been shot, and Donald J. Trump at a World War WWE event saying fight, fight, fight. He's obviously good at playing a part and playing a role very, very well. So the gaslighting related to trying to convince us to believe that this was just a procedural failure, that happens at all the false flags events. Uvalde, perfect example. Las Vegas, a perfect example. Nashville, a perfect example. It's always a known wolf shooter that was set up. And here we're being presented with this crook character. And I even question, was there an actual human being named Thomas Crooks put on that roof? We're presented with a number of witnesses who took a bullet through the brain. I saw the FBI out there hosing the space down within 24 hours, pressure washing the roof, cleaning up all the evidence, making sure everything was gone. I know that somebody who drove by and passed by the water tower saw that it had all been taped off and secured. So why would you tape off and secure the water tower as part of the crime scene? These are all the most important questions that need to be asked about this event, because even people in the crowd, what they thought they saw is by this point in time has been influenced by the rest of the media telling them what they really saw or what they really didn't see. Regardless, how do we win in this situation? And the question is presented as as an important aspect of the conversation. Is Donald Trump's victory going to guarantee that prosecutions are going to start taking place with deep state actors? I don't know the answer to that. I don't know if he's going to change his tune. I don't know if he's really going to drain the swamp. I don't know if the swamp is something he's after. I don't know if he's just trying to replace the people in the swamp that can't be controlled by the Jews with people that can be controlled. I don't know how deep it's going to go, and I don't know how ugly it's going to get. But I can tell you this. I'm not buying, I'm not biting on any of these narratives that are being presented on any YouTube channel, because if it's still on YouTube and it's still up, that means it's probably not the truth. And I'm not buying any, but I'm also not taking hook, line, and sinker the entire narrative that the entire thing was a staged event. Just because I'm having a hard time eliminating the question of were real projectiles used. So I find myself in a weird situation where I see the event more as they used all the recruiting techniques to create a false flag boogeyman using the boogeyman weapon and having the boogeyman bomb, miraculously gaining boogeyman access to a roof to shoot a crowd of MAGA supporters. Ki bono, who benefits? Donald Trump and his partners end up benefiting. We have a couple of deaths of people who have been paid millions or a death. Others are in serious condition. They've been paid millions, which is what we see in all sorts of other psyops. I know MAGA people are probably pretty generous, but we do see the GoFundMe type sites for people injured in these types of events hit millions within days or minutes, and that's exactly what happened here. So, where am I in all this? I think they used all the techniques to create a traditional false flag. They used all the cover-up techniques that are put into place after a traditional false flag. And I'm just stuck with that one hanging issue. Was a real projectile used to try to assassinate Donald Trump? Or was it some sort of remotely detonated fake blood buzzer? I can't see the hole in the photos. I can see indications of what we're being told is blood, but I've seen that in all sorts of false flags. I have no idea what's going on. And do I trust Donald Trump is just simply telling us the truth in this scenario? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. So, and will they ever get to the bottom of it, or will they just cycle it out? I think they'll just cycle it out.
All right. Thank you, brother. Okay, next. Shorts and foreknowledge. Another part of our story. A company called Austin Private Wealth LLC shorted 12 million shares of Donald J. Trump via a put option. So they shorted that. Filing date is July 12th, the day before. They have about $1 billion in assets. They're going to lose about 100 million from it, from that bet. And according to the source, the trade represents 6% of total shares and over 16% of the float of the stock, given the fact that Trump owns 60% of company giant bet. 71% of all put options in the last 90 days came from one investment fund. One. Just that one. And Mike Adams, Health Ranger, also contributes to the very same company that shorted 12 million shares of DJT, also shorted 34 million shares of Rumble on the exact same day. If Trump were killed, Rumble would have tumbled and DJT would have collapsed, resulting in a windfall of profits potentially in the billions. Not at all suspicious, right? And do you believe in coincidences? This is really graceful. 5 minutes. And she's pointing out that Austin Private Wealth filed a statement of incorrect filing with the SEC, Securities and Exchange Commission, on the 17th. And they said, oh, well, we were trying to short 1,200 shares, not 12 million. It's we've made a mistake at a magnitude of 10,000, and we didn't catch our mistake. So that is funny. I don't believe in coincidences. I think that they are going to be hung out to dry, or no matter what happens at this point. I mean, even if the assassination was going to be successful, did they think that nobody would notice? So it's extraordinary, the as you're talking about, Brian, all these traditional aspects of a false flag attack are being rolled out, and we're seeing them. And I think that this is just the beginning. I think that more and more is going to come out. Your thoughts, brother?
Well, it doesn't surprise me that somebody got wind and foreknowledge. I mean, there's the FBI lady in the front row that acted very suspiciously and recorded at very suspicious moments. We have some posts in Twitter forums and different 4chan posts saying that they saw it was going to take place well in advance of the event. I saw at least two or three that I considered to be verifiable of foreknowledge there. Obviously, the foreknowledge was set up to allow the shooter onto the roof and Secret Service to allow him to theoretically act unhindered. And then, of course, the cover-up happens instantly with, who was supposed to be there. It was clear that they had allowed that person to operate. And they can't even hide that now with all the post-facto, things coming out about the ladder. I don't believe any of that bullshit that comes afterwards. I haven't seen a forensic analysis of a hard drive. I haven't seen any evidence. I don't know what's inside the files. They're going to do the same thing they did here with Sandy Hook, the same thing they did with Sandy Hook with this evidence. They're going to bury it. We're going to have very little to work with, and it's all going to be cleansed and fabricated and modified until it makes enough sense so that they can say, "Oh, we had the wrong people in the wrong place at the wrong time, and this guy just happened to find a flaw." Bullshit. You're really given two op three options. Either it was incompetence, or it was malice, or it was a psyop. Incompetence ruled out. No way. No way. 20-year-old outsmarts the Secret Service in a situation like this. Malice, again, if real gunshots, then real malice. Psyop, if gunshots were fake, the entire thing's a psyop designed to shift the balance of power and create a falsified controlled puppet that will be considered to be a hero, that will be able to, lead the American people into a new era of dictatorship, frankly.
All right. Well, we shall see. It definitely has the whole world watching. Public optics. All right. We have here Victoria Nuland, and I'll let her smirk here. Show it.
With regard to Nord Stream 2, we continue to have very strong and clear conversations with our German allies, and I want to be clear with you today. If Russia invades Ukraine, one way or another, Nord Stream 2 will not move forward.
And there's the duping delight that Nord Stream 2 will not move forward. And then,
With
oh, we don't
regard to
have, I
Nord
thought
Stream
that this had
2,
a double one.
we continue to have very strong and clear conversations.
So she was also smirking with the news of, or the potentiality of Trump being the president. And the optics for the public, we can't protect our soldiers in Afghanistan. We can't protect our kids from illegals. We can't protect our streets from the criminals. We can't protect a former president giving a speech. This is Biden's America. And then we have here part of the ongoing destruction. And there's, all that blood, nothing on his hand, nothing on his clothes, just a little smirch there on his jacket collar. And Matt Orfalea is, one of the leaders to expose the Mockingbird media, and I want to play all 5 minutes of this. to be able to see the order went out to corporate media to pimp January 6th.
We saw President Trump say what I believe was fight, fight. That was his first instinct. And let's remember January 6th.
I know that everyone here will soon be marching over to the Capitol building to peacefully and patriotically make your voices heard.
The former president just rallied the mob to attack.
We have to have peace. So go home.
Trump engaged in an armed insurrection.
I said, please support our Capitol Police and law enforcement.
Trump engaged in an armed insurrection.
I said, stay peaceful.
Trump engaged in an armed insurrection.
I said, we want no violence.
The President of the United States incited an armed insurrection.
I said, respect the law and our great men and women in blue.
Donald Trump ordered essentially a terrorist attack.
We don't want anybody hurt.
He resorted to inciting violence.
An armed insurrection.
I said, I am asking for everyone at the U.S. Capitol to remain peaceful.
To push for an armed insurrection.
I said,
peacefully and patriotically make your voices heard.
The clear insurrectionist.
We have to have peace.
Literally, an armed insurrection
of domestic terrorists.
We have to have law and order.
An armed insurrection.
You have to go home now.
We didn't do anything to try to get them to stop.
Right.
Go home and go home in peace.
Please go home. No,
well,
I said that.
Referring
you know
to
what
the
they
law
did?
Order there,
they
Mr.
took
President.
That down. And you know, to this day, they've never put it back up.
But I just want to come back to Earth One for a second and remind our viewers that Donald Trump ran an armed insurrection.
Because Trump engaged in an insurrection on January 6th, Colorado Supreme Court removed Trump from the ballot. He was banned.
Banned from appearing on the ballot on the ground that he was guilty of insurrection, a crime with which he has never been charged, let alone convicted.
Insurrection. They were domestic terrorists.
The president shouldn't be giving them the marching order.
Marching over to the Capitol building.
To go carry out armed insurrection.
Peacefully.
Trump, the ultimate modern insurrectionist, led an armed mob against the American government.
Peacefully. Make your voices heard.
Insurrection.
Colorado ruled that Trump
engaged in an insurrection.
Insurrection.
Therefore cannot appear on the ballot.
And we'll find out very soon. If the U.S. Supreme Court agrees with the Colorado Supreme Court that Donald Trump is ineligible for office because he engaged in insurrection.
Section 2383 of Title 18 prohibits insurrection. It's a federal criminal statute. But President Trump has not been charged with that. So what are we to make of that?
I think that the question that you have to confront is why a single state should decide who gets to be president of the United States. I mean, that seems quite extraordinary, doesn't it?
No, Your Honor.
Experts say Trump's January 6th actions disqualify him.
The Supreme Court must kick Trump off the ballot.
Must disqualify Trump.
It's their only choice.
This disqualification has got to be enforced.
He shouldn't be on the ballot.
Kicking Trump off the ballot is unassailable.
Unassailable in every respect.
This is a slam dunk.
President Trump disqualified himself.
Cannot hold office and should not even be on the ballot.
It is unmistakable.
Irrefutable.
Overwhelmingly obvious.
The disqualification could not be any clearer.
Experts say the answer is clear.
Perfectly clear.
Trump's already disqualified.
The case is not even close.
In fact, the former president is disqualified.
Donald Trump is disqualified.
The
former president is not eligible to be president again.
Experts say there's a strong basis to bar Trump from the ballot.
The case for disqualifying Trump is strong.
The case for disqualifying Trump is strong.
The case for disqualification is strong.
A surprisingly
strong
case. The legal arguments are strong.
It's a very strong argument.
That's a really, really strong argument.
Very strong. It's the strongest.
A strong case that Donald Trump does not belong on the ballot.
Actually, the case was so weak that every single Supreme Court justice, even the liberal ones, ruled in favor of Trump.
Thank you very much.
What do you think?
Well, you know, I often say that covering the Supreme Court is a little bit like covering the Kremlin.
And this decision has essentially set us up for danger.
Preach! The Supreme Court has betrayed democracy.
Yeah. Oh, wait, can I take it one step further and assign some more nefarious,
sure.
nefarious ends to that?
Yeah. And the
concurrent
opinions.
Just all shoddy legal work all around by all the justices.
The Supreme Court ducked its opportunity and responsibility to stop this insurrectionist.
A refusal to hold this man accountable.
This is an emergency moment for our democracy.
Yeah, collectively, the court has shown itself to be corrupt and illegitimate. It must be dissolved. Its members, including Jackson, Kagan, and Sotomayor, have proved themselves inept at reading comprehension.
Look, unfortunately, the court isn't necessarily wrong.
I actually think it was the right decision to make.
I know it's probably the right decision, but it has really irritated the poo out of me.
Yeah.
And we fight. We fight like hell. And if you don't fight like hell, you're not going to have a country anymore. So let's walk down Pennsylvania Avenue. I want to thank you all. God bless you and God bless America. Thank you all for being here. This is incredible. Thank you very much.
Worf does a great job. And I got a couple more.
Wait a second. Let me make a comment about that before we play this next one. Okay.
Yep.
Let me just make a comment about that. Obviously, we knew the whole January 6th insurrection thing was nothing more than gaslighting. Question is, who benefited? Okay, the deep state, obviously the senior executive service benefited from the January 6th, which meant that they were threatened. Were they threatened because they were going to lose their bureaucracy? Were they threatened because Donald Trump was going to literally have a team of white hats take them down with some sort of military tribunal? Why are they being threatened on such a level? Is it because there's a potential that they could lose their money? No, Donald Trump's going to spend more money probably on Homeland Security and academia and everything else than they were. So why were they threatened? Because Donald Trump was exposing their lies and their gaslighting. That was the biggest problem that they had with Donald Trump. Donald Trump was calling the mainstream media fake news. He was calling them a bunch of liars. He was ruining their emperor has new clothes, or has no clothes persona, and exposing them as frauds. That's why they didn't like it. So that's a media apparatus driving January 6th. Okay, now let's assume that these people are basically just sort of products of the American institutions, that they're desperately grasping to hold on to power and defend their minds by repeating the day-to-day mantra to themselves that orange man bad. The question is, what is orange man going to bring in to replace them? So now let's examine that question with this next video that I just sent to you in chat. Let's take a look at what this guy really has to say.
Okay. This link. I got a screen share so that everyone can see it. All right, here we go.
5PP14 developed by my people, the Israelis at MIT with HIV in it, right?
No.
Is that exactly what it is? This is a genocide by the Israelis. They're getting rid of all you Americans. You're all part of the land of Edom. They consider Donald Trump their Mashiach. I don't know if you know this. Do you know that they gave Donald Trump the silver crown of the Torah recently, which is to be put on the head of the Messiah? Do you know this?
Who's that?
163 Orthodox rabbis.
Oh, wow.
Came together at Trump's golf course and handed him the silver crown. Do you know any of that?
Nope.
They gave him a menorah about 2 weeks ago, and on the bottom, the inscription says, the Prince of Peace, an utterance out of the prophet Isaiah for the Mashiach, the Messiah. Do you know that happened? So you guys have no idea that they, in Israel, the Knesset, and in the Sanhedrin, have proclaimed Donald Trump the Messiah. Nope. You know none of this.
They gave Trump the silver crown of the Torah. Got that? That's the silver crown of Jerusalem. This is to be given to the Messiah and the Messiah only.
Wait, let me see it again.
And 163 Orthodox Jewish rabbis gave Donald Trump the silver crown of the Torah. I worked 4 years on Trump's campaign team. These guys are, this is the inscription, which you can't read, but you can read it here. They're calling him the Prince of Peace. This is an utterance out of the prophet Isaiah. Donald Trump is considered the Mashiach of Israel, the Messiah, according to these rabbis who run your country. The whole COVID agenda was done by Zionist Jews, and they want all you people dead here in the land of Edom. They consider Donald Trump the head of Edom. They're going to kill you people off with this injection. You're considered Amalek, and they want all you people dead. My Instagram is Trump_played_you. Trump played you. My son's dying from this shot that Donald Trump brought out through a military operation, Warp Speed, March 27, 2020. Approved by the DOD. Warn your fellow Americans, this whole thing by this COVID agenda is all dual citizenship Zionist Jews. I used to be a hardcore Zionist. They want all you people dead, and Trump is their Messiah. Make no mistake of it. He will return.
Can I see the back of your shirt? All right.
Go Trump. Go Trump.
Yeah, Trump's going to kill all you people.
Oh, sharp. What do you want to say about that, brother?
What is Trump going to replace? If Trump is the big hero, what promises has he made to this faction, the Adelsons, the Peter Thiels, and the others? What promises has he made? And did that mechanism create a false flag scenario to make sure that he was being installed because he had promised something to this mechanism, the Zionist mechanism? He's promised them this nation is what he's done. That's what I think. So I know that there's going to be people in the comments that think I'm crazy, that Donald Trump's going to usher in a new era of American prosperity. I don't think so. I don't think so. I think he's going to sell us out, and I don't trust him.
Well, I will say that for anybody to think that something of the magnitude that you're talking about is not possible, I think that is refuted by the history. Take a look at the Promise of America with 1776, the best document that anybody had come across, the ideals of the Enlightenment. And then I think that if we can trust the history, that temporary apparent victory for we the people, that our opponents were so in control, they probably just chuckled and said, okay, bitches, see who becomes the paradigm of evil now. And that they just went ahead and reversed it and made the U.S. be the most, the evil, the most killing, the most brutal, savage. So I wouldn't put it past anything for the depth of evil that we've witnessed and that we can point to beyond, even with adrenochrome. So we are in some sort of a, I just call it a space opera, because it is so, I don't want to say magnificent, but it is magnificently evil and over our heads. So for anybody to criticize what you're saying, Brian, I just don't think that they have appreciated the scope of what we've already seen.
Well, look at the RNC. We got Harmeet Dillon offering up some sort of sacrificial prayer to some foreign god. We've got this black lady. I don't even know her name, but what was the nature of that? That was something to do with abortions, Democrat. The what we considered to be the old conservative right is now what's called Republican. What Republicans are is now a sort of centralized Democrat blended with the conservative right, leaving those on the far right completely out of the equation. It's not even, I see a blend of Zionism and the Zionist powers taking over the Republican Party because they recognize that Donald Trump presented a better leader than Joe Biden. And I see more war and I see more death. I see more evil in the future.
All right, we'll see. All right, we got a couple more for the public. Optics. We have Time Magazine choosing not this cover that they initially had planned on, but instead having this cover instead. And part of what I like about the optics, Ugandan children play tribute to Trump with reenactment of attempted assassination. And I'll go ahead and play this and just see what you see with this.
I want to really see something that said, take a look at what happened. Oh.
What I like about that is that the kids knew to emphasize the fight, and anybody who would grow up in an area that has been at the effect of the empire, they're going to brutally feel the necessity to fight because we're under attack. And I think that that is part of what the people are left with, this response that if you don't want more of this stuff, then you'd better game up. And I think that ties directly to the chosen, scripted optic of Trump. Fight, fight, fight. Now is the time. And fortunately for me, and we'll see, Brian, I think that the cascade of events, I think that the White Hats are in charge, and the cascade of events will expose more and more of the evil. But as I keep talking about, is there isn't enough on the board to make that determination. But the whole world is watching. Your thoughts, brother?
Yeah, I get calls from friends, you know, people that have followed my career in conspiracies, if you could even call it that. And I get a lot of messages from people, you know, and of course, what's the big question? You know, is this white hat theory legit? And of course, the answer to me always has to go back to, if it could be verified, then it wouldn't be very effective, would it? It can't be verified. But it's my opinion. I'm gonna lean more towards the American intelligence media side of the equation. It's my opinion that what originally happened with what was called Q appeared to be legitimate. Then it was hijacked at some point in time and modified. A lot of posts seem to make a lot of sense under a lot of different circumstances, but it's almost similar to the gematria thing. Now, I would definitely like to believe that there are portions or factions of our military or our government that are true patriots that recognize the gravity of the situation. But I was friends with a guy who was CIA. Matter of fact, he's a captain that taught me how to drive my boat. Good friend, ex-CIA. He was a sniper back in Vietnam. Became CIA afterwards. And I can tell you something. That guy, I had a better grasp on truth and the overall larger nature of politics than that guy did. Just because he came from the CIA didn't mean he had any inside information. A lot of the information he gave me was verifiably false, but that didn't mean I didn't like him. I wanted to listen to him. I wanted to hear him out. So that leads the issue. Do the people in the government believe their own bullshit? Maybe they do. And again, they substitute information intake from what they consider to be reliable sources for critical thinking. And
yes,
a good example is there is a training organization called Bellingcat. Theoretically, they train the journalists that work for CNN or work for MSNBC or ABC or Fox News. The Bellingcat is sort of the centralized funded academy, postgraduate academy of how to do open source intelligence for journalism. Bellingcat is so ridiculously corrupted with how heavy they teach them to weigh on the every voice that happens inside the echo chamber of this world. Bellingcat, matter of fact, their number one tutorial example was the Charlottesville shooting, which was clearly a false flag by any of our standards, which are much higher than theirs. But they use that as an example of what excellent, you know, here's a tutorial in what excellent journalism really looks like. Find the plant in the crowd that's willing to talk to you, that's the early eyewitness. Take what they have to say as gospel. You know, go verify it, cross-reference it with what it, you know. It's ridiculous, but Bellingcat was such a bad training scenario that I began to realize how all of journalism gets destroyed. And then, of course, I went to Uvalde within 48 hours of the Uvalde shooting. I think it was actually 24 hours of the Uvalde shooting. And what I saw was a circus of reporters, crisis actors, and plants freely roaming around the scene, offering interviews to verify that everything that was being said that happened in the school actually happened. And it didn't matter how much didn't make sense. Or didn't all that mattered was, oh, we can't question these people. They've had children killed in Uvalde. We can't question these. This was a kid that was in the classroom. These people were roaming around in small groups where all the reporters were at, offering interviews, and there'd be four or five of them, and then one child would step forward and tell their fabricated story to the journalist. And, oh, now it's verified. And then they had placed people inside the houses surrounding the neighborhood. Some houses were equipped with people that had, oh, we're going to have a family reunion right in our front yard here this day, and we're going to make ourselves available to all the reporters. So as the reporters come into the scene, there's nobody there to question any of the narrative whatsoever. The government's already set up all their crime scene tape and their perimeter. They've already cut off all the angles for people to take photos. They've already pushed everybody out. They've already set up their press conference stage, and they've already done all this and done all that. Well, there's a problem, a fundamental problem. I have the original hour and 10 minutes of footage from the scene. I know exactly what happened. And it absolutely was not the narrative that they put out for us. I know exactly what happened. And I know it's all bullshit. So it's the same thing in an event like this. I think there's a mass psychology that takes place that leads the reporters and the journalists to have this sort of self-fulfilling prophecy and verifiable experience that makes them really believe what they're saying is true when it's all a bunch of bullshit just because they haven't seen a new world of critical thought. Instead, they've replaced it with the old world, the old god of information intake replaces makes me smart. That's what I have to say about that.
And this idea of a mass psychosis and the power of our opponents to apply mind control and our relative inability to break that through factual discourse is that there does seem to be some sort of an application of control that's over our heads. And even though, you know, people can claim to be educated and can be like your CIA, ex-CIA friend who is probably very knowledgeable and competent in every other respect, same thing that I observe is that when presented with the most important facts is that they revert back to the mind control. Fascinating. All righty, next. If the actor playing Biden exits, then Harris or Newsom is scripted in. And I was tempted to just go ahead and put them in quotes as well, because who knows what they actually are. All right, so video of Kamala reemerging, questioning the integrity, and we've gone over this before, is that she flip-flops, and you can compare what she says to people challenging the actor playing Biden's election to what she said earlier as a senator.
You cannot claim to be for unity if you try to overturn a free and fair election.
We recently also, I actually held a demonstration for my colleagues here at the Capitol. Where we brought in folks who, before our eyes, hacked election machines.
You cannot claim.
Yeah. And as an AP U.S. government teacher since the mid-2000s, so 20 years ago, I began playing videotape from professors at Stanford and Princeton demonstrating that these electronic voting machines were designed to steal elections, and their very presence of unaccountable voting, of not having receipts that anybody can confirm, destroy the definition of an election. Now, if Newsom comes into place, he just signed this bill that makes sure that parents don't know if in school their children are talking about identifying as their opposite to being born sex, that the parents won't know. And I think that this optic, the destruction and the choice of these optics, again, I don't know anything, but I think that the Democrats are facing extinction and that the optics are that damaging. They will not survive this. Now, I don't know exactly what that means. I see it as consistent with rolling out a platform of truth. But I think that Brian also hits the key question of, well, the last time that Trump went into office, it might have been having your enemies be closer. And there was good defense played, but very little for the American public. And of course, the American public are desperate now with how ridiculously expensive items are, the threat of world war, just every value of America is under attack. So if we are going to turn this around, we need to be shown some definitive steps of turning it around and be on a pathway to do so. Not promises, not just optics. We need to have the breakthrough. Brian.
Voting is like paying taxes. It gives you the illusion that you're involved in your own governing structure. The taxes that the people pay into the federal budget are a drop in the bucket compared to the bank credits that they issue related to their debt. Never will the American people be capable of paying enough taxes to actually have any control or authority over the federal budget structure. Never will it balance. I mean, just simply take our current debt, divide it by the number of households in America, and ask yourself, how long is it going to take to pay off that debt, given that we're paying interest on it theoretically? Voting is the same way. It gives us the illusion that we're making a contribution. And we might be making a contribution on a local level. It does. It does give us the illusion that we're, hey, there was 268 votes for this particular county commissioner. One of those was mine. And on a smaller level, great. But these people aren't worried about the smaller level. Remember, the 50 states right now are so beholden to federal government spending structures that they look at how COVID worked. COVID only worked because all 50 states fell into line because their funding was threatened. The money flows down from the top where they print it out, issue it, and decide that it's going to be given down to the little baby banks down at the bottom of it. Voting's the same way. They might let us have little victories, just like our little bit of taxes goes to actually pay 1/100th of somebody's local salary or a new police car or something like that. But at the end of the day, our votes mean about that much. And we saw that so clearly in 2020. I mean, Joe Biden, 81 million votes. Look, give me a break. Never will I trust the voting structure again. Never, ever, ever will I trust the voting structure again. And as a matter of fact, the closer we get to this election, I'm feeling like I'm not exactly going to cast that vote for Donald J. Trump. Certainly, I'm not going to cast it for a Democrat. The question is, will I cast it at all? Because I just simply don't feel like it would be effective.
Yeah, I'm there too. It's a farce. I didn't vote the last time. I haven't voted the last few elections. Because why? You're going to participate. You're going to pretend. You're going to make the fact.
That's right. I'm going to pretend that the system still works. Yeah. I'm pretending that the system still works. I'm going to bury my head in the sand and pretend that the system still works.
Like, I couldn't even say the words "I voted" without going into an asterisk and then an explanation. So it is tragic comic, and nobody should be, I mean, be hopeful, not hopeful, who the fuck cares? But for one to make any type of a factual explanation that we're on solid ground, I don't see it. And it goes back to don't trust a psyop. All right.
Expose them. Expose the psyop. Expose it. That's what our job is.
Yep. And in the big picture of the importance of this, I just want to conclude that the importance of exposing the psyops and withdrawing consent and demanding arrest and the victory is they want to cull us. They want to shoot us and cull us and further lock us down as a slave species, the goy to whoever's pulling the shots. And latest body of evidence, Japanese biopsy specialists prove COVID shots cause deadly heart failure. Now, this is huge in Japan that the Japanese and Japanese culture, I don't think that they're going back. I think that the Japanese are firmly among the leaders to reject COVID. Now, as far as the history of Japan being a colony of the United States after World War II, that's a separate subject. But I just wanted to highlight the importance that this is AMRAV to World War III, and that the fight, fight, fight is real, and that the passion that patriots are feeling watching the show and wanting to get through the bullshit to the truth is that the importance of staying active in the war, while paradoxically at the same time recognizing that so far, so much of it is over our head, it's a unrecognizable position that we're in, and yet here we are, and just challenged to do our best. Your thoughts, brother?
This is a new age of information. There's a new age of artificial intelligence. There's a new age of computer-based thought and strategy. But there's also nothing new under the sun. It takes human beings to implement whatever sophisticated chess plans may be developed. And I think at this point in time, the people that have their finger on the scales in terms of understanding how to use deception to their advantage would be the people over at Mossad. I think they've even surpassed the CIA in terms of their ability to implement deception in order to obtain what they consider to be victory. Now, I am the enemy of deception. It's what I've dedicated my career and my life, and the reason that I come into these shows is I want to expose deception. I think if you do know the truth will set you free. And I really believe that from an existential perspective, as much as a psychological perspective. I see young kids that are suicidal, that are having a hard time. I see people that don't understand the world. And I'm not saying that I can sit down with somebody for 10 minutes and present them with a new worldview where it all makes sense. But what I can tell you is, for me, the world didn't make sense when I took sides, when I was on Drudge Report and Fox News prior to the Orlando Pulse nightclub shooting, which was my big eye awakening event. The world didn't make sense. The reason that I was so desperately searching and searching for something that added up was that it didn't make sense. It wasn't until I went through the process of being willing to abandon everything I thought I knew and replace it with something that's more properly thought out that I became effective and found a truly surreal balance. And I'm not like a spiritual guy. I'm not like a, you know, I'm not like that at all. But I can tell you that I had friction with the world when I thought it worked the way that the news and the media and even the academic institutions that I had gone through told me it worked. The friction was always there. The anxiety was always there. It wasn't until I was willing to throw out everything I thought I knew as true and reevaluate it from the ground up that I really truly found peace, because the new worldview that got forged in those times provided me with such a complete sense of peace and understanding about how this world works that I've literally counseled hundreds of clients. As last I counted, I had somewhere around 1500 file. That means 1500 unique people had given me money to research a specific problem of some sort. And I can tell you that out of those, I have positively impacted the lives of at least 150 of them by just simply earning my way to the point where I can have a conversation with them about how to see the real world. Because really, at the bottom of it, even their little questions and mysteries, they can be resolved with a better worldview.
Thank you, brother. We're going to final thoughts. For all the chaos that we see, I like how you frame that, a surreal balance in that I too, that in the storm, I feel personally better and better in every respect, as crazy as it is. And I do conclude that we're in the Great Awakening. Now, in terms of where the next steps are going to go and what you're saying, Brian, is that it's going to get worse. I do think that we do need it to get worse. I think that if we are to have an opportunity to evolve beyond the slave species that we have been, that more of the truth needs to become apparent, is that human beings need to see the total extent that they have been played. They have been told infantile comic book stories of good and bad. And I'm with you, partner, of being with human beings as a school teacher and seeing the children through the elementary school, through middle school, through high school, and that as high school students, they're looking around and they are not inspired. They feel the lies and they don't know what to do with it. And I too stand that I have been a contribution to them just by being a person of relative balance compared to the turmoil of what we have. Now, with what is going to happen next and where people can approach this from, I don't have any advice except that what I'm confident in professionally being able to contribute is that the official stories are lies. As to what's happening, I keep saying that's a whole other level of inquiry to be able to demonstrate what is happening given the limitations of our human brain. But again, just hang in there, be as strong as you can. If you're so inclined, then pray and look to be in balance. The prayers, the meditations, whatever you want to call it, the requests, is that I am here to help. I do see the possibility of a world that works for everyone with no one left out. That is what I would prefer to do. I would prefer to have truth and synergy. And that is where I emphasize my life's expression. And at the same time, you need to be able to see that evil exists to the extent that it does because it is allowed. If the creator didn't want it, it wouldn't be here, but it is. So it has a purpose. It has something to do with the balance of the entire system. And just to be able to, for me, again, I just ask, let me just see what's going on. And I have had enough experience where my own life has been touched and miraculously upgraded. And I have felt the hand of, I don't know, the creator or something beyond myself to help me out. And it seems that my intention for good is a key driver. So me to be able to appreciate, to love and appreciate this guidance that I have received decade after decade after decade, and to be able to honor that somehow through the co-creative process that we have, as I don't know, ineffective as it may be, we can at least be proud of what it is that we have and develop what we have, which is, as far as I can tell, just what we think and just what we say and just what we do. Brian, final thoughts, brother.
Well, this world is a test. There's no doubt in my mind that it's a test, but it's a test that grows with us. I'll always be amazed at the extensive ability of mankind to break through terrible circumstances or what seemed to be very terrible circumstances and come out on the other side. You know, if a guy's business goes bust today, you know, hey, yeah, it's going to take 3 or 4 years to rebuild, but it's no reason to, you know, go commit suicide. Don't end your life over it. I see a lot of people, you know, there's a real problem right now. If you listen to Tucker Carlson's interview with, I forgot his name the other day, but he talks a lot about white man suicide, how right now guns are the leading cause of death among white men as their guns are being used in suicides. Some sort of leading cause of death with that. And I thought it was a very interesting conversation. there's always a way out. There's always a way to look at it where it makes sense. And I'm going to agree with Abraham Lincoln, or the, at least the quote that's attributed to him, which is, a man is as happy as he wants to be. And I've seen people in dire circumstances in ghetto slums in China that are happier than multimillionaires in America. A man is as happy as he wants to be. Just a question of mindset under a lot of circumstances. Although I still would like to see poverty dealt with more extensively. What's the purpose of having a government if it's not there to deal with poverty? Crime and poverty ought to be its two largest issues. And it doesn't seem to be working for either of them, frankly. If you look at the murder rate for solved cases, it's desperate failure. Name one thing the government does better than private industry. One thing. Nothing. There's nothing. It's a farce. It's a fake, which is why the economy is a farce and a fake as well. And voting, in a sense, is a farce and a fake. Anyway, that's my final thought today. Don't lose hope. There's a lot of hope. There's a lot of hope that I'll come across that smoking gun evidence that a real bullet was used. I've looked at 20 videos that indicate to me that some type of projectile existed. But I've seen that in false flags all the time, where a real projectile is mixed in with fake projectiles. And I'm not even saying that all false flags have resulted in no death, no injury whatsoever. I'm saying that the event is there as a psychological operation. How it was executed often leaves lots of variables in my analysis, but the simple overall big picture of who benefits, why it's there, and what it's there for always plays in, and that plays in perfectly in this Donald Trump assassination event. And to me, the biggest two things that stand out like a sore thumb are the photograph of the bullet streaking through the air, proving to us with their trajectory for that photographer to have that lens at that speed, at that moment, makes you believe. And it's a New York Times photographer, same guy that took pictures of George Bush when he was in the elementary school when the World Trade Centers went down. He was that guy that snapped that iconic photo of somebody whispering into his ear. He captures a bullet in this particular frame. That to me is feels as if it's a massive fraud, the very fact that he's positioned there. Number two was the bomb. I see it all the time. All was engineered. All was engineered into the events to get more spending. And number three was the immediate known patsy, observed by all, seen by all, theoretically hit by an assassin's sniper's bullet. Doesn't add up. Nothing adds up. I think the event's fake. How much Donald Trump had to do with it, how deeply was he involved, I have no idea for certain.
Yeah, that little snippet, I didn't include it in today's show. It'll be on Monday when we're back with Joe and with Chris. But that CNN, this is the 25th rally of Trump. You know, no corporate media coverage. But then on this one, for whatever reason, CNN was there. And that photographer right there with the highest speed camera focused on the president's head right at the moment of action. It does make you wonder. Probably does.
Oh, he had that camera set for serious, serious sports mode.
Serious.
Very serious sports mode. Mm-hmm. He wasn't just recording another ho-hum speech about immigration. He was looking for the kill shot. Absolutely.
Yep. He wanted to catch those pieces flying.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, audience members, thanks for being here. And we will be back on Monday with more of this news that you need to know.